wide open. One or two GDs bowed to me. There's absolutely nothing like this. Yeah, they're gangbangers, and they've done all kinds of foul shit that I don't even want to know about. But I'm enough to them, so frankly, they're enough to me. Aight, aight, Aunt Pooh calls over to them. I need to talk to the superstar in private. Y'all gotta go. Everybody but Scrap and JoJo leave. Aunt Pooh lightly pushes JoJo's head. Go on, little badass. Dang, Pooh, when you gonna let me claim? He means claim colors, as in become a garden disciple. This little boy is always trying to join, like it's the Maple Grove basketball team. He's been throwing up GD signs for as long as I've known him. Forever never, Aunt Pooh says. Now go. JoJo makes this sound like a tire pump spitting air. Man, he groans, but he pedals away. Aunt Pooh turns to Scrap, who still hasn't left. She tilts her head like, well?
What?
He says.
This my car. I stay if I wanna.
Man, whatever, Aunt Pooh says. You good, Bree. I shrug. It's weird. Ever since Long called me a hoodlum, it's like the word's branded on my forehead, and I can't get it off me. Hate that this is bothering me so much.
You sure you don't want me to handle them guards?
Aunt Pooh asks. She's so serious, it's almost scary. Positive.
Aight, I got you. Just give the word.
She unwraps a blow pop and sticks it in her mouth.
What Jay gonna do about this?
She's not letting me leave that school, so it doesn't matter.
What, you wanna go to Garden High?
I pull my knees closer. At least I wouldn't be invisible there.
You ain't invisible,
Aunt Pooh says. I snort. Trust. I basically walk around with an invisibility cloak on.
A what?
Scrap asks. I stare at him. Please tell me you're joking.
It's some nerd shit, Scrap,
Aunt Pooh says. Excuse you, but Harry Potter is a cultural phenomenon. Scrap goes,
oh, that's the one with the little dude with the ring, right? My precious,
he says in his best Gollum voice. I give up.
Like I said, nerd shit, says Aunt Pooh. Anyway. Stop worrying about whether them fools notice you at Midtown, Bree. Listen.
She props her foot on the car bumper.
High school ain't the end or the beginning. It ain't even in the middle. You about to do big things. Whether they see it or not, I see it. Everybody last night saw it. Long as you see it, that's all that matters.
Sometimes she's my personal Yoda. If Yoda was a woman and had a gold grill. Unfortunately, she doesn't know who Yoda is. Yeah, you're right.
I'm what?
She puts her hand to her ear. I ain't hear that good. I'm what? I laugh.
You're right, dang.
She tugs my hoodie so it covers my eyes.
Thought so. How you get over here anyway? Your mama drop you off on her way back to work? Should've told me I was gonna be babysitting your hard-headed ass.
Oh. I forgot the reason I came over here in the first place. I stare at my not Tim's. Jay got laid off.
Oh, shit, Aunt Pooh says. For real?
Yep. The church let her go so they could pay for repairs to the daycare.
Shit, man.
Aunt Pooh wipes her face.
You aight?
Jacksons can't cry. But we can tell the truth. No. Aunt Pooh pulls me into her arms. As much of a hard ass as my aunt is, her hugs are the best. They somehow say, I love you and I'll do whatever for you, all at once.
It'll be aight, Aunt Pooh murmurs. I'm gonna help y'all out, okay?
You know Jay won't let you. Jay never takes money from Aunt Pooh, since she knows where she gets it from. I understand. If drugs almost destroyed me, I wouldn't take money that's made from them either.
Her stubborn ass, Aunt Pooh mumbles. I know this shit is probably scary as hell right now, but one day you gonna look back and this gonna feel like a lifetime ago. This a temporary setback for a major comeback. We ain't letting it stop the come up. That's what we call our goal, the come up. It's when we finally make it with this rap stuff. I'm talking get out the garden and have enough money to never worry again make it. I gotta do something, Auntie, I say. I know Jay's looking for a job and Trey's working, but I don't want to be dead weight. What you talking about? You ain't dead weight. Yeah, I am. My mom and my brother bust their butts so I can eat and have somewhere to lay my head. And what do I do? Absolutely nothing. Jay doesn't want me to get a job. She wants me fully focused on school. I picked up candy dealing. I figured if I handled some stuff for myself, that would help. I need to do more, and the only thing I know to do is rap. Now, let me be real. I know not every rapper out there is rich. A whole lot of them fake for the cameras, but even the fakers have more money than me. Then you got folks like D-Nice who don't have to fake, thanks to that $1 million deal. He played his cards right and got his come up. We gotta make this rap stuff happen, I tell Aunt Pooh. Like now. I got you, okay? I was gonna call you anyway. I've had all kinds of folks hitting me up because of the battle. I made some stuff happen for you a little while ago.
For real?
Uh-huh. For one, we're getting you back in the ring. That'll help make a name for you.
A name? Yeah, but it won't make me any money.
Just trust me, all right? She says. Besides, that ain't the only thing I arranged.
What else, then? She rubs her chin.
I don't know if you can handle this one yet.
Oh, my God. This is not the time to drag me along. Just tell me. Dang! Aunt Pooh laughs.
Aight. Last night, a producer came up to me after the battle and gave me his card. I called him earlier, and we arranged for him to make a beat and for you to go into his studio tomorrow.
I blink. I'm going in a studio?
Aunt Pooh grins.
Yep. And I'm making a song?
You damn right.
Yo! I put my fist at my mouth. For real? For real?
Hell yeah. Told you I was gonna make something happen.
Damn. I've dreamed of going into a studio since I was like 10. I would stand in front of my bathroom mirror with my headphones on my ears and a brush in my hand like it was a mic as I rapped along with Nicki Minaj. Now I'm gonna make my own song. Shit! There's a slight problem. Which song will I do, though? I've got tons in my notebook, plus a hell of a lot more ideas that I haven't written down. But this is my first real song. It's gotta be the right one.
Look, whatever you do is gonna be a banger, Aunt Pooh says. Don't sweat it.
Scrap shoves a spoonful of cereal into his mouth.
You need to do something like that song old boy you battle got.
That swaggerific trash?
Aunt Pooh asks.
Man, get out of here. That shit ain't got no substance.
It ain't gotta have substance,
Scrap says.
Miles lost last night, yet that song's so catchy, he got even more folks talking about it. Shit was trending this morning.
Hold up, I say. You mean to tell me that I won the battle and clearly the better rapper, and yet he's getting all the buzz?
So, basically, Scrap says, you won the popular vote, 'cause everybody loved you in the ring, but you still lost the election since he the one getting fame?
I shake my head. Too soon.
Touché,
he says, because he's Scrap. And sometimes he says touche.
Look, don't worry about that, Bree. Aunt Pooh says, if that fool can blow up 'cause of some garbage, I know you can.
Pooh!
This skinny older man zigzags across the courtyard.
Let me holler at you.
God damn, Tony.
Aunt Pooh groans.
I'm in the middle of an important conversation.
It's not that important. She goes over to him.
I bite my lip. I don't know how she does it. I don't mean the actual selling drugs part. She hands them the product, they hand her the money. Simple. I mean, I don't know how she can do it, knowing that at one time somebody else was the dealer and my mom, her sister, was the junkie. But if I make this rap stuff happen, hopefully she'll give all that up.
Real talk, Bree, Scrap says. Although Miles getting all the attention, you ought to be proud. You got skills. I mean, he blowing up, and I don't know what the hell gonna happen for you. But yeah, you got skills.
What kind of shady-ass compliment is this?
Thanks. The garden needs you, for real, he says. I remember when your pops was on the come up. Every time he made a music video around the neighborhood, my little ass tried to get in it. Just wanted to be in his presence. He gave us hope. Hardly anything good ever come from around here, you know?
I watch Aunt Pooh slip something into Tony's shaky hand. Yeah, I know.
But you could be the something good, says Scrap.
I hadn't thought about it like that. Or the fact that so many people looked up to my dad, enjoyed his music? Yeah. But he gave them hope? It's not like he was the cleanest rapper. But in the garden, we make our own heroes. The kids in the projects love Aunt Pooh because she gives them money. They don't care how she gets it. My dad talked about foul shit, yeah. But it's shit that happens around here. That makes him a hero. Maybe I can be one, too.
Scrap slurps the rest of the milk from his bowl.
Swaggerific, so call me terrific. He raps with a little shoulder bounce. Swaggerific, swag-erific, swag, swag, swag.
7. Here's the thing about my brother's car. You hear it before you see it. Scrap's still rapping swaggerific to himself when I notice that all-too-familiar grumble getting closer. Granddaddy says Trey needs a new tailpipe. Trey says he needs money for a new tailpipe. That old Honda Civic pulls into the Maple Grove parking lot and heads turn in its direction like they always do. Trey parks, gets out, and seems to look straight at me.
Welp. This isn't good.
He crosses the parking lot. His hair and his beard have grown out since he moved back home. Granddaddy says he looks like he's in a midlife crisis. Grandma says our dad spit Trey out. They look exactly alike, right down to their dimples. Jay claims he even walks like Dad, with this swagger about him as if he's got everything figured out already. He's in his Sal's uniform, a green polo with a pizza slice logo on the chest and a matching hat. He's supposed to be heading to work. A GD in the courtyard notices him and nudges one of his friends. Soon all of them watch Trey, with smirks. When he's close to me, Trey goes,
I guess phones are useless now, huh?
Good morning to you, too.
You know how long I've been driving around looking for you, Bree? You had us worried sick.
I told Jay I was going for a walk.
You need to tell folks where you're going, he says. Why couldn't you answer your phone?
What are you talking? I take it out of my hoodie pocket. Damn, I've got a ton of texts and missed calls from him and Jay. Sonny and Malik have texted me, too. That little half moon in the top corner explains why I didn't know. Sorry. I put it on Do Not Disturb for school and forgot to turn it back on. Trey tiredly wipes his face.
You can't be.
Loud laughs erupt across the courtyard from those GDs. They're all looking at Trey. Trey looks right back at them like, we got a problem? Aunt Pooh comes over, smirking too.
My dude, she says as she slips money in her pocket. What you doing? I'm getting my little sister, that's what. Nah, bruh.
She eyes him from head to toe.
I mean, this shit. You the pizza boy? Come on, Trey. Really?
Scrap busts out laughing. I don't see a damn thing funny, though. It took my brother forever to find something, and nah, making pizzas ain't goals, but he's trying.
I mean, damn, Aunt Pooh says. You spent all that time in college, being Mr. Big Man on campus with the good grades and shit. And this the result?
Trey's jaw ticks. It's nothing for these two to get into it. Trey usually doesn't hold back either. Aunt Pooh's not that much older than him, so that whole respect your elders thing is a no-go. But today he says,
you know what? I don't have time for immature, insecure folks. Come on, Bree.
Immature? Insecure?
Aunt Pooh says the words like they're nasty.
The hell you talking about?
Trey pulls me toward the parking lot. We pass the GDs.
How he gonna be the big homie's son and making pizzas? One says. Law probably rolling in his grave at this week's shit.
Another says, shaking his head.
Good thing little mama keeping it going for him.
Trey doesn't respond to them either. He's always been too nerdy to be Law's son. Too soft, not street enough, not hood enough. I don't think he cares, though. We get in his car. There are candy wrappers, receipts, fast food bags, and papers all over. Trey is messy as hell. Once I lock my seatbelt, Trey pulls out. He sighs.
Sorry if it seemed like I was coming at you a little bit.
Trey was the first person in the family to call me that. Word is he didn't get why everybody was obsessed with me when our parents brought me home because I was just a little bit cute, not a lot. It stuck. For the record, I was a whole lot cute.
You had us worried, he goes on. Ma was about to ask Grandma and Granddaddy to look for you. You know it's bad if she was about to do that.
Really? Grandma would have never let her live that down, either. Seriously, I could be grown with kids of my own, and Grandma would be one cough away from death telling Jay,
remember that time you couldn't find my grandbaby and called me for help?
The petty is strong in that one.
Yeah, really, Trey says. Besides, you don't need to be hanging out in the projects.
It's not that bad over there.
Listen to yourself. Not that bad. It's bad enough. Doesn't help that you're hanging around Pooh, considering all that she's into.
She wouldn't let anything happen to me.
Bree, she can't stop something from happening to herself, he says.
I'm sorry for that stuff she said back there.
I'm not bothered, he says. She's insecure about her predicament and picks on me to make herself feel better.
Thanks to that psychology degree, my brother can read folks like a pro. Still doesn't make it right.
It is what it is. But I want to talk about you, not me. Ma told me what happened at school. How are you feeling?
If I close my eyes tight enough, I can still see Long and Tate pinning me to the ground. I can still hear that word, hoodlum. One damn word and it feels like it's got all the power over me. But I tell Trey, I'm fine.
Yeah. And Denzel Washington is my daddy.
Damn, for real? The good gene skipped you, huh? He side-eyes me. I grin. Trolling him is a hobby.
Asshole, he says. But for real, talk to me, Bree. How are you feeling?
I rest my head back. There are a couple of reasons my brother majored in psychology. One, he says he wants to keep somebody from ending up like our mom did. Trey swears that if Jay had gotten counseling after seeing Dad die, she wouldn't have run to drugs to deal with the trauma. Two, he's always in somebody's business about their feelings. Always. Now he has a degree to certify his nosiness. I'm sick of that school, I say. They always single me out, Trey.
Ever thought that maybe you should stop giving them a reason to single you out?
Hold up, you're supposed to be on my side.
I am, Bree. It's bullshit that they're always sending you to the office. But you also gotta chill a little bit. You're a classic case of oppositional defiant disorder. Dr. Trey is in the building. Stop trying to diagnose me.
I'm simply stating facts, he says. You tend to be argumentative, defiant. You speak impulsively. You get irritable easily.
I do not! Take that shit back!
His lips thin. Like I said, ODD.
I sit back and fold my arms. Whatever.
Trey busts out laughing. You're predictable at this point. Sounds like that ODD helped you out last night, though. Congrats on the ring win.
He holds his fist to me. I bump it. You watched the battle yet?
Haven't had time. Kayla texted me about it.
Who?
He rolls his eyes. Ms. Teak.
Oh, I forgot she has a real name. It's so damn cool that you work with her. Even though it's kind of sad that somebody as dope as Ms. Teak has to make pizzas for a living. I'd be starstruck around her.
Trey chuckles. You act like she's Beyonce.
She is. She's the Beyonce of the ring.
She's something, all right.
He probably doesn't realize he's all dimples at the moment. I pull my head back a little with my eyebrows raised. Trey notices me staring.
What?
Are you trying to be her Jay-Z?
He laughs. Shut up. We're supposed to be talking about you.
He pokes my arm.
Ma told me she broke the news about her job before you ran off. How are you feeling about that?
Dr. Trey is still on duty. I'm scared, I admit. We were already struggling. Now it'll only be harder.
It will be, he says. I can't lie. Between my student loans and my car note, feels like most of my checks already gone. Things are going to be extra tight until Ma gets a job or I get a better one.
How's your job search going? He's been looking for something since his first day at Sal's. Trey runs his fingers through his hair. He definitely needs a haircut.
It's okay. Just taking a while. Thought about going back to school to get my master's. That would open up a hell of a lot more doors, but...
But what?
That would take away hours I could be working. It's all good, though.
No, it's not.
But I promise you this, he says. No matter what happens, it's gonna be okay. Your almighty, all-knowing big brother will make sure of that.
I didn't know I had another big brother.
You're such a hater, he laughs. But it'll be fine, okay?
He holds his fist to me again. I bump it. Things can never go wrong on Dr. Trey's watch. He shouldn't have to fix this, though. He shouldn't have had to come back to Garden Heights. At Markham State, he was king. Literally, he was the homecoming king. Everybody knew him from starring in campus productions and from leading the drum majors. He graduated with honors, worked his ass off to get there in the first place, only to have to come back to the hood and work in a pizza shop. It's bullshit, and it scares me. Because if Trey can't make it by doing everything right, who can?
All right, so this ODD of yours, he says. We need to get to the root of it, then work.
I do not have ODD, I say. End of discussion.
End of discussion,
he mocks. Don't repeat what I say.
Don't repeat what I say.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole. Bree is right.
Bree is right. He looks at me.
I grin. Got him. He pushes my shoulder.
Smart ass.
I bust out laughing. As awful as the situation is, and as big of a pain in the butt as he can be, I'm glad I have my big brother to go through it with me. 8. When I wake up the next morning,
My headphones hang lopsided off my head as my dad raps in them. I fell asleep listening to him. His voice is as deep as Granddaddy's, a bit raspy at times, and as hard as the stuff he raps about. To me, it's as warm as a hug. It always puts me to sleep. According to my phone, it's 8 a.m. Aunt Poo will be here in about an hour to take me to the studio. I flipped through my notebook most of last night trying to figure out what song to record. There's Unarmed and Dangerous. I wrote that after that kid got killed, but I don't know if I want to be political from jump. There's State the Facts, which reveals too much personal shit. I'm not ready for that yet. There's Hustle and Grind, which has potential, especially that hook. I don't know, though. I don't freaking know. Laughs come from somewhere in the house, quickly followed by a shh. Don't be waking my babies up. I lift my headphones off. It's Saturday morning, so I know who those laughs belong to. I slide into my Tweety Bird slippers. They match my pajamas. I will always be a fool for that little yellow bird. I follow the voices toward the kitchen. Jay's at the table, surrounded by recovering drug addicts. One Saturday per month, she has meetings with people she knew from when she lived on the streets. She calls the meetings check-ins. The community center used to hold them, but they ran out of funds and had to stop. Jay decided to keep the program going herself. Some of these folks have come a long way, like Mr. Darrell, who's been clean for 6 years and works in construction now. There's Ms. Pat, who just recently got her GED. Others, like Miss Sonia, show up once in a while. Jay says the shame of falling off the wagon makes her stay away. Sonny's and Malik's moms are here, too. Aunt Gina sits on the counter with a plate of pancakes in her lap. Aunt Shell's already starting dishes at the sink. They were never on drugs, but they like to help Jay cook breakfast and even make bagged lunches for folks like Miss Sonia, who may not get a good meal otherwise. Sometimes we barely have food, yet Jay finds a way to feed us and other people too. I don't know if it impresses me or annoys me. Maybe it's both. I'm telling you, Pat, Jay says, your mama will come around and let you see your kids. Keep working on gaining her trust. I understand the frustration, though. Lord, do I understand. After I finished rehab, my in-laws put me through it when it came to my babies. I'm not sure I'm supposed to hear this. I'm talking court cases, supervised visits. How you gonna have some stranger supervise me as I spend time with my babies? All these stretch marks I got from bringing them big heads into the world, and you don't trust me around them? The others chuckle. My head is normal size, thank you very much. I was pissed, Jay says. Felt like everybody held my mistakes against me. Still feels like that sometimes, especially now as I go on this job hunt.
They giving you a hard time? Mr. Darrell asks.
The interviews start out fine, says Jay, until they ask about my gap of unemployment. I tell them the truth, and suddenly, I become another junkie in their eyes. I don't hear back. That's such bull, Aunt Shell says, picking up Ms. Pat's empty plate. Malik looks nothing like his mama. She's short and plump. He's tall and lanky. She says he's his daddy's clone. You know how many rich white folks come to the courthouse on drug possession? A whole lot, says Jay. Too many, Aunt Shell says. Every single one gets a little slap on the wrist and goes right back into society, like it's all good. Black folks or poor folks get on drugs? We're ruined for life, Jay says. Sounds about right.
You mean sounds about white, says Aunt Gina, pointing her fork.
Sonny is his mama's twin, right down to their short, curly cuts. Mm-hmm. But what can I do? Jay says. I just hate that I don't know what's gonna happen next, She spots me in the doorway. She clears her throat.
See, y'all woke my baby up.
I inch into the kitchen. No, they didn't.
Hey, little bit,
Aunt Gina says, in that careful way that people only use if they feel bad for you.
How you doing?
She must know what happened. I'm fine. That's not enough for Jay. She tugs at my hand. Come here.
I sit on her lap. I should be too big for this, but somehow I always fit perfectly in her arms.
She snuggles me close, smelling like baby powder and cocoa butter.
My bookie, she murmurs.
Sometimes she babies me, like it's her way of making up for when she wasn't around. I let her do it, too. I wonder, though, if she only sees me as her baby girl who used to snuggle up with her until I fell asleep. I don't know if the snuggles are for who I am now. This time, I think the snuggles are for her. Aunt Pooh picks me up as planned. I tell Jay that we're just hanging out. If I told her I'm going to a studio, she'd say I can't go because my grades dropped. The studio is in an old house with peeling paint over on the west side. When Aunt Pooh knocks on the front door, some older woman talks to us through the screen and sends me, Aunt Pooh, and Scrap to the garage in the back. Yeah, Scrap's here. Aunt Pooh must have brought him for backup, because this house is a mess. Hard to believe anybody lives here. A couple of the windows are boarded up, and weeds and vines grow up the walls. Beer cans litter the grass. I think I spot some needles, too.
Hold up. Is this a trap house?
I ask Aunt Pooh.
That ain't your business, she says.
A pit bull lying in the backyard suddenly perks his head up and barks at us. He charges our way, but a chain keeps him near the fence.
Guess who almost peed herself?
That'd be me.
Who's this guy again?
I ask Aunt Pooh.
His name is Doc, she says, her thumbs tucked into the waist of her pants, either to hold them up or so she can easily get to her piece. He ain't big time or nothing like that, but he's talented. I got you a dope beat for a good price. He gonna mix it and everything, have you sounding professional.
She looks me up and down with a grin.
I see you rocking the Juicy Special.
Huh?
Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack.
She tugs at the plaid shirt under my bubble vest as she quotes Biggie,
with the hat to match.
She tugs at my trapper hat, too.
Finally learned some style from your auntie, huh?
Any good I do, she finds a way to take credit. Learn to keep your pants on your butt and we'll talk. The garage has graffiti all over it. Aunt Pooh knocks on the side door. Feet shuffle and someone hollers out,
Who is it?
P, is all Aunt Pooh says. Several locks click and when the door opens, it's like that moment in Black Panther when they go through the hologram and enter the real Wakanda. It's like we just stepped through a hologram that showed everyone else a trap house and into a studio.
It's not the fanciest, but it's better than I expected.
The walls are covered in those cardboard cup holders that restaurants give when you have multiple drinks to carry. Soundproofing. There are several computer monitors at a table with drum pads, keyboards, and speakers nearby. A mic sits on a stand over in a corner. A pot-bellied, bearded guy in a wife beater sits at the table.
What up, P?
He says, with a mouth full of gold. His words come out slow, like somebody turned down the tempo on his voice.
What up, Doc?
Aunt Pooh slaps palms with him and the other guys. There are about 6 or 7 of them.
Bree, this is Doc, the producer.
Aunt Pooh says. Doc nods at me.
Doc, this is Bree, my niece. She about to murder this beat you got for her. Hold up, you made that for this little girl?
Some guy on the couch asks.
What's she gonna do? Spit some nursery rhymes?
There go the smirks and snickers. This is that stale and predictable shit Aunt Pooh warned me about when I first told her I wanted to be a rapper. She said I'd have to do double the work to get half the respect. On top of that, I gotta be just as cutthroat, and I better not show weakness. Basically, I gotta be one of the guys and then some in order to survive. I look dude on the couch dead in his eyes. Nah, I leave the nursery rhymes to you, Father Goose.
Ooh,
a couple of the guys say, and one or two give me dap as they crack up. Just like that, I'm one of them. Doc chuckles.
He wished this beat was for him, that's all. Check it out.
He clicks some stuff on one of the computers and a bass-heavy up-tempo beat blasts through the speakers. Well, damn. It's nice as hell. Reminds me of soldiers marching for some reason. Or the hands of a school security guard patting me down for drugs I didn't have. Rat-tat-tat-tat, tat-tat-tat, rat-tat-tat-tat, tat-tat-tat. I get my notebook out and flip through. Shit. Nothing I've got seems to go with this beat. It needs something new. Something tailored to it. Aunt Pooh bounces on her heels.
Ooh-wee! We're really gonna be on the come up once this drops.
On the come up. Dun 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 on the come up, I mumble. Dun 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 on the come up. I close my eyes. The words are there, I swear. They're just waiting for me to find them. I see Long throwing me to the ground. One false move would have stopped any chances of a come up. But you can't stop me on the come up, I mutter. You can't stop me on the come up. I open my eyes. Every single person in here watches me.
You can't stop me on the come up, I say louder. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me, nope, nope.
Smiles slowly form, and heads nod and bob.
You can't stop me on the come up, Doc echoes. You can't stop me on the come up.
One by one, they join in. Slowly, heads nod harder, and those few words become a chant.
Yo, that's it!
Aunt Pooh shakes my shoulder.
That's that shit we...
Her phone goes off. She glances at the screen and slips it back in her pocket.
I gotta go.
Hold up, what? I thought you were staying with me.
I got some business to take care of. Scrap will be here.
He nods at her, like this is an agreement they made already. So that's why he's here. What the hell? This is supposed to be our business, I say.
I said I'll be back later, Bree. Aight?
She walks out. As if that's that. Excuse me, I tell the others, and rush out. I have to jog to catch up with Aunt Pooh. She opens her car door, but I grab it and shut it before she can get in.
Where you going? Like I said, I got some business to take care of.
Business has been her code word for drug dealing since I was 7 years old and asked her how she made enough money to buy expensive sneakers.
You're my manager, I say. You can't leave now.
Bree, move, she says through her teeth.
You're supposed to stay with me. You're supposed
to put that all aside. But truth is, she never said she would. I assumed.
Bree, move,
she repeats. I step aside. Moments later, her cutlass disappears down the street, and I'm left in the dark, without a manager. Worse, without my aunt. Curious eyes wait for me back in the studio, but I can't show weakness, period. I clear my throat.
We're good.
All right, Doc says. You gotta come hard on this one. This your introduction to the world, know what I'm saying? What you want the world to know.
I shrug. He wheels his chair closer to me, leans forward and asks,
What's the world done to you lately?
It put my family in a messed up situation. It pinned me to the ground. It called me a hoodlum. It's done a hell of a lot, I say. Doc sits back with a smile.
Let him know how you feeling then.
I sit in a corner with my notebook and my pen. Doc's got the beat on repeat. It gives the floor a pulse, making it thump slightly beneath me. I close my eyes and try to soak it in, but every time I do, Long and Tate sneer back at me. If I was Aunt Pooh, I would have whooped their asses, no lie. Anything just to make those cowards regret even looking at me twice. I'm not Aunt Pooh, though. I'm weak, powerless Bree, who had no choice but to lie there on the ground. But if I was Aunt Pooh, I'd tell them, run up on me and get done up, I mutter, and write it. Done up. The good news? A lot rhymes with done up. The bad news? A lot rhymes with done up. I tap my pen against my palm. Across the garage, Scrap shows Doc and his boys his two pieces. One's got a silencer, and the guys damn near drool over it. Aunt Pooh says Scrap's got more heat than a furnace. Wait. Run up on me and get done up. My squad got more heat than a furnace, I mumble as I write. Silencer is a must. They ain't heard us. Heard us. Nobody hears us around here. Like Dr. Rhodes or all those politicians who flooded the neighborhood after the riots. They did all these stop the gun violence talks like we were to blame for that boy's death. They didn't care that it wasn't our fault. We don't bust, yet they blame us for murder, I say, under my breath. Scrap points his Glock at the door to show it off. He even cocks it. If I had one, I would have aimed it and cocked it yesterday. This Glock, yeah, I cock it and aim it, I write. Wait, no. Something should come before that. Aim it, ain't it, frame it, claim it. Truth is, if I would have had that Glock, that would have just given Tate and Long another reason to call me a thug. Well, you know what? You think I'm a thug? Well, I claim it, I mutter. This Glock, yeah, I cock it and aim it. That's what you expect, bitch. Ain't it? The picture you painted, I frame it. I've got this. Half an hour later, I step up to the mic and put the headphones over my ears.
You ready?
Doc says in the headphones. I'm ready. The music starts. I close my eyes again. They want to call me a hoodlum? Fine. I'll be a goddamn hoodlum. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me. Nope, nope. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me. Nope, nope. Run up on me and get done up. Whole squad got more heat than a furnace. Silencer is a must. They ain't heard us. We don't bust yet. They blame us for murder. You think I'm a thug? Well, I claim it. This Glock, yeah, I cock it and aim it. That's what you expect, bitch, ain't it? The picture you painted, I frame it. I approach you, watch close. I'm a threat. Think I bang, think I slang, claim a set. Cops can draw, break the law cause you fret, yet I bet you won't even regret. But you can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me. Nope, nope. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me. Nope, nope. Pin me to the ground, boy, you fucked up. Wrote me off, called your squad, but you lucked up. If I did what I wanted and bucked up, you'd be bound for the ground, grave dug up. Boys in blue rolling all through my neighborhood, cause I guess that they think that we ain't no good. We fight back, we've attacked them, they say they should. Send in troops wearing boots for the greater good. But let me be honest, I promise. If a cop come at me, I'll be lawless. Like my papa fear nada take solace in my hood going hard in my honor. Cause you can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me. Nope, nope.
I'm a queen, don't need gray just to prove it. Rock a crown and you ain't gonna remove it. Royalty in my blood didn't choose it, cause my daddy's still king and the truest. Strapped like backpacks, I pull triggers. All the clips on my hips change my figure, cause I figured they think I'm a killer. May as well bust them thangs, go gorilla. I hate that my mama got struggles, bills and food she be trying to juggle, but I swear I'm gonna pop like a bubble and make sure she don't have no more troubles. So you can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me on the come up. You can't stop me. Nope, nope.
9. Ampu never came back. Scrap walked me home. I left her voicemails, texted her, everything. That was yesterday, and I still haven't heard back. Her girlfriend, Lena, hasn't heard from her either. Ampu does this sometimes, though. We'll ghost for a bit, then pop back up out of nowhere, acting as if everything's all good. If you ask her what she's been up to, she'll be like, "Don't worry about it," and move on to something else. Honestly, it's best that way. Look, I know my aunt does foul stuff, okay? But I'd rather see her as my hero than as somebody else's villain. Can't lie, though. I'm pissed that she left me like she did. I got the song done, Doc polished it up, put it on a USB for me, and that was that. No problems at all. But Aunt Pooh should have been there. She was supposed to tell me if a line was off or hype me up when a verse was good. She's supposed to tell me what to do with it. I haven't uploaded it online. One, I don't know what to do with it. How do I promote it? I do not want to be that random person on Twitter going into threads and dropping Dat Cloud links that nobody asked for. 2, as dumb as this will sound, I'm scared. To me, it's like putting nudes online. Okay, maybe that's a stretch, but it's like putting part of me out there that I can't hide again. There's already a part of me out there that I can't hide. Somebody at school uploaded a video of Long and Tate pinning me to the ground. It doesn't show them throwing me down or anything that happened before that. Whoever recorded it called it drug dealer caught at MSOA. Drug dealer. 2 words. Since they think I'm a drug dealer, nobody could really give a fuck. The video's barely got views. It's messed up, but I'm glad nobody's watching it. Trey peeks into the bathroom.
Dang, you ain't ready yet?
Trey! I groan. I'm just standing here, putting gel on my edges. But who wants their older brother sticking his nose in the bathroom while they're getting ready? Do you know what privacy is?
Do you know what timeliness is?
He looks at his watch.
Church starts in 20 minutes, Bree. Ma's ready to go.
I comb my baby hairs into a swoop. Don't know why we're going in the first place. Straight up, it would take Jesus himself to make me go back to the same church that let me go. For real, for real. Even then, I tell him, let me think about it.
I don't know why Mom wants to go either, Trey says, but she does, so hurry up.
This makes no sense, I swear. Trey heads outside, and I'm not far behind. Jay's already in her Jeep.
All right, y'all, she says. You know folks will be talking about me losing my job. Try to ignore it and don't get smart, okay?
She looks dead at me in her rearview mirror.
Why are you looking at me? Oh, you know why.
She puts the truck in reverse. Got a mouth like your daddy. Also like her. But anyway... Christ Temple is only a 5-minute drive away. The parking lot is so full, cars are parked in the gravel lot next door that the church owns. That's where we end up, instead of in the church secretary spot that Jay used to have. They've taken the sign down. Jay greets people inside with a smile like nothing's happened. She even hugs Pastor Eldridge. He opens his arms toward me. I give him a sup. Nod and keep it moving. Trey does too. Our petty doesn't discriminate. We have a pew near the back that may as well have our names on it. From here we can see some of everything. Service hasn't started yet, but there are people all around the sanctuary talking in little clusters. There are the older mothers, as they're called, up in the front row with their big hats on. Some of the deacons are over to the side, including Deacon Turner with the jerry curl. My stank eye is strong for that one. A few months ago, he got up in front of the congregation and ranted about how parents don't need to hug and kiss their sons because it makes them gay. Sonny's parents said that rant was a bunch of bullshit. They haven't brought Sonny and his sisters back to church since. I've flipped Deacon Turner off every chance I get since. Like now. He's not wearing his glasses, though, which explains why he just waves at me. So I give him the double middle finger special. Trey pushes my hands down. His shoulders shake from fighting a laugh. Grandma's up front with her group from the decorating committee. Her hat's the biggest of them all. She says something to her friends and they glance back at us. Heffa bet not be talking about me, Jay says, with that synthetic mess on her head. Wig looking like roadkill.
Ma,
Trey says. I snort. Granddaddy comes up the center aisle. He can't take a step without somebody saying, "Morning, Deacon Jackson." This is the only place where people don't call him senior. His round belly looks like it'll pop out of his vest. His purple tie and handkerchief match Grandma's dress and hat. My grandparents always match. Not just on Sundays, either. They'd show up to Markham's football games in identical track suits to watch Trey. He didn't play. He was a drum major. But the band is just as important as the football team at HBCUs. Shoot, more important.
All right now, y'all,
Granddaddy says to us. That's his way of saying good morning. He leans across the pew and kisses Jay's cheek.
Glad to see y'all made it today.
Of course, Mr. Jackson, Jay says. Nothing could keep me from the house of the Lord. Glory. I side-eye her. Not that Jay doesn't love the Lord, but she gets extra Christian when we're in church. Like her, Aunt Gina and Aunt Shell weren't just twerking to bounce music last night in our living room. Less than 24 hours later, and every other word out of Jay's mouth is glory or hallelujah. I doubt even Jesus talks like that. Granddaddy leans toward me and points to his cheek. I kiss it. It's fat and dimpled, like my dad's was.
Always gotta get my sugar from my little bit, he says with a smile.
He eyes Trey, and the smile is gone.
Boy, you know you need to go to a barbershop. Got more hair than a white man who done got lost on a hike.
I smirk. Only Granddaddy.
You really gotta start this morning,
Trey says.
You the one gonna have wildlife running out your head. Y'all making it, Jada?
He knows. Not surprised. As the head deacon, Granddaddy finds out everything. Yes, sir, Jay claims. We'll be all right.
I ain't asked if you will be. I asked how you doing now.
I'm handling it, says Trey.
With that little mess you call a job?
Granddaddy asks. Granddaddy thinks Trey should get a real job. Last week he went into this whole thing about how
this new generation don't want to work hard and that making pizzas ain't a man's job.
See, Granddaddy was a city maintenance worker for 40 years, was one of the first black men to hold a job there, too. Let him tell it, if Trey isn't coming home sweaty and grimy, he's not working hard enough.
I said I'm handling it,
Trey says. Mr. Jackson, we're fine, Jay says. Thank you for asking. Granddaddy takes out his wallet.
Least let me give you something.
I can't take. He counts out a couple of 20s and puts them in Jay's hand.
Stop all that foolishness. Junior would want me to.
Junior's my dad and the key to ending any argument with my mom. No, Jay says.
If he were here, he'd be giving you money. Granddaddy chuckles.
That boy was generous, wasn't he? The other day, I was looking at this watch he bought me and got to thinking about it.
He taps the gold piece that stays on his wrist.
It's the last thing he gave me, and I almost didn't take it. I would have regretted that had I known.
Granddaddy goes quiet. Grief hasn't left my grandparents. It hides in the shadows and waits for moments to hit.
Keep that money, Jada, Granddaddy says. I don't want to hear another word about it. You hear me?
Grandma comes over.
Just don't go wasting it.
Jay rolls her eyes. Hi to you too, Mrs. Jackson. Grandma looks at her from head to toe and purses her lips.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first to say my grandma's stuck up. I'm sorry, but she is. Main reason she doesn't like Jay is 'cause she's from Maple Grove. She's called Jay that old hood rat from the projects plenty of times. Then again, Jay has called her that old bougie heifer just as much.
I hope you use that money for my grandbabies and not some of the other mess you probably into,
Grandma says. Excuse me? Says Jay. What other mess?
Louise, come on now,
Granddaddy says. Grandma kisses her teeth and looks at me.
Brianna, baby, don't you want to sit with us?
It's the same question every Sunday. Thankfully, I've got a system for this. Every other Sunday, I sit with my grandparents. That way, Grandma isn't disappointed that I've chosen Jay over her more, and Jay isn't disappointed that I've chosen my grandparents over her. Basically, it's joint custody, church pew edition. It's tricky, but it's my life. So since I was with Jay last Sunday, this Sunday goes to my grandparents. Yes, ma'am.
That's my girl, Grandma says, all smugly.
She clearly hasn't caught on to my scheme.
What about you, Lawrence?
She means Trey. He's Lawrence Marshall Jackson III. Grandma rarely uses his nickname. Trey puts his arm around our mom.
I'm good.
That's his answer every week. Grandma purses her lips.
All right. Come on, Brianna.
Jay gives my hand a slight squeeze as I slide past her. See you later, baby. She knows I split my Sundays between them. Told me that I don't have to, but I'll do anything to keep the peace. I follow Grandma toward the front of the sanctuary. She and Granddaddy have a spot on the second row that's theirs. See, the first row is for folks who want to show off. The second row is for folks who want to show off, but want to act like they're subtler about it. Grandma squints as she eyes me up and down.
You look tired. Bags under your eyes and everything. That woman been letting you stay up all kinds of hours, hasn't she?
First of all, dang. The shade. Second of all, I go to bed at a decent hour. Sometimes. That's not Jay's fault. Blame my PlayStation. Grandma goes,
Tuh! I'm sure you do. You're looking kind of po', too.
Not poor, but po'. As in skinny. Which I'm not. That's the country way of saying it. As bougie as Grandma wants to act, according to Granddaddy, she's just one foot out the backwoods and one toe from ignorant. I'm eating fine, Grandma, I tell her.
Mm-hmm. Don't look like it to me. She probably don't cook, do she? These young mothers live in drive-thrus, probably giving you hamburgers every night. A mess.
I didn't even say anything but go off. Grandma picks at my hair.
And why she always putting your hair in these old braids? You got good hair. It don't need to be in this mess.
What the hell is good hair? Hell, what's bad hair?
Lord, that woman don't know how to take care of you, she goes on. You know you can come back home, right?
As far as she's concerned, her and Granddaddy's house will always be my home. Seriously, she acts like I'm just visiting Jay. I can't lie, I used to want to go back to them too. When your mom is only your mom on weekends and holidays...